I live in Israel. This season is dedicated to the memory of the 1,400 of my countrymen who were massacred on October 7th and the 240 people that were kidnapped and are being held hostage by the terrorist organization Hamas. Hopefully they will be returned to their families as soon as possible, and hopefully this terrible war will be able to come to a peaceful end very soon. Welcome to Minute 37 of Season 6 of Move Around Minute, the daily podcast where we take a Capra-esque journey through the 1946 classic, It's a Wonderful Life, one minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Richard Kirkham of Kirkham A Movie A Day. Welcome back to the show, Richard.
Glad to be here, Rob. If I had $1 million, I wouldn't be here.
No, maybe you would. Even if you had $1 million, you'd still want a podcast, wouldn't you?
I'd still podcast, but I'd probably do it from a palatial estate someplace else.
Okay, that's fine. So you wouldn't be where you are. Not we wouldn't be.
That's right.
You wouldn't be here.
Okay. That's it.
Okay, that makes sense. All right, so Minute 37 begins with the brothers reuniting and ends with George being left alone once again with his thoughts. So yesterday we ended things with, George and Uncle Billy waiting at the train station for Harry to show up, and Harry then does show up. And we get to see right at the beginning of this minute that he's not there alone, but George and Uncle Billy don't notice that yet. They're still waiting for it. And then the minute starts off with, "Oh, am I glad to see you?" And then Harry goes, "Say, hey, where's mother?" "She's home cooking the fatted calf." Have you ever heard that phrase before?
I have. It's actually a biblical phrase.
That is correct. Do you know where it's from?
From the story of the prodigal son.
That is correct. In the New Testament. And it basically is a festive celebration or rejoicing for someone's long-awaited return, which yes. I had never known that, until I looked it up, I've heard this phrase used many times in this movie, other movies, whatever, never made any type of, connection to the fact that it comes from biblical times. The idea basically is to take, your fattest and best piece of livestock in order to use it at this festive meal.
Celebration. Well, I think it was very typical in earlier times to use phrases that made reference to, biblical stories, for instance, or historical events. It's a little bit like slang that people shared. They've got cultural familiarity with certain things, so people understand what you're talking about when you use a phrase or you make a reference to a character or a person in history. I'm not sure that we're still doing, we do that to some degree, obviously, but I don't think the biblical references are nearly as ubiquitous as they were 100 years ago.
No. That's because now we have the internet.
That's it.
Now the things that the people talk about are TikToks,
That's it. Everybody knows the TikTok or the viral video that
or the meme or whatever it is.
Oh, you've seen that meme, and I'm going, no, I haven't. I need to catch up.
That's right. And then he goes, "Come on, let's go." And then Harry realizes that he's made a little bit of a mistake here, and he goes, "Oh, wait a minute, George. Uncle Billy, I want you to meet Ruth." It's an interesting way for him to introduce Ruth, whoever she may be. We will find out in a few seconds, but it's just very strange. Harry has come home. He's been away for 4 years, and he just spent however many hours on the train with Ruth. But as soon as he sees his brother and his uncle, he's totally forgotten about that fact. She's a, she's an afterthought at this point. Who, again, whoever she may be. And, you know,
Well,
so.
yeah, Harry's dumping a surprise on them, which is a little bit strange, but especially this kind of surprise.
That's right. And then we get a, hello, how do you do? Ruth Dakin. And then Ruth actually corrects Harry and says, Ruth Dakin Bailey, if you don't mind. And then George does a double take, huh? And Harry goes, well, I warned you. I had a surprise. Here she is. Meet
the wife.
The wife. It's an interesting way, meet the wife, as opposed to, why don't you meet my new wife, Ruth, or whatever. Just meet the wife. I don't know. I just found it a little strange that that's the way that Harry refers to Ruth. You know,
I think the way brothers talk to each other, there sometimes is this little shorthand that they do. They had an earlier scene. Remember when they were getting ready to go to the party where they're, you know, cryptically making comments to each other all the time, talking in a little bit of shorthand. And I think it's another one of those things that, and especially when he is pulling a surprise, he hasn't told them before. He didn't write to them ahead of time. He didn't send them a telegram that he was getting married. So, this is a way that he can casually toss it off and produce the surprise effect that he's looking for. I think that's a smart ass brother comment.
Okay. That's fair. I would assume that Ruth would be somewhat offended that that's the way she's being introduced, even if it's a smart ass brother comment. You know, it's not, I wouldn't have said it's appropriate.
Well, I would certainly say it would not be the appropriate way to do it in 2023, but I tell you what, in 1932, probably wouldn't be perceived as being nearly as offensive. Or if it was offensive, nobody would speak about it.
Right. Okay. Right. That is fair. There are tons of people that I found. I found a whole list of people that have been named Ruth, and there's two that I'm going to talk about because they're both connected to a candy bar. Do you know who either of these Ruths are, or possibly both?
Oh, well, I assume Babe Ruth is one, and then there was a. Is it the story about the little girl and the bear, the teddy bear? You don't see that?
No.
Okay, then it's somebody else. So I don't know.
It's the daughter of Grover Cleveland.
Okay.
President Grover Cleveland, who was the...
Was this his illegitimate daughter?
No. She was legitimate. She was popularly known as Baby Ruth or Babe Ruth. She was the oldest of the five children born to Grover Cleveland and his wife Frances. And she was born in 1891 and passed away in 1904. So she,
oh, wow.
she only made it to the age of 13. Actually, it wasn't even 13. She was 12 and a half when she passed away. When Grover Cleveland finished his second term, they ended up moving to New Jersey, and she ended up passing away, as I mentioned, at a very early age. And she was actually born between both of Grover Cleveland's two terms of office. He is the only president who lost an election, and then 4 years later.
Terms, right.
That's right. And I always remember the phrase from his wife, from Frances Cleveland, who, when they were leaving the White House in 1891 or 92, she basically said to, no, it was 1890, I believe. She said to all the servants, don't change anything. We'll be back in 4 years. You know, and then because the election, he lost to Benjamin Harrison, and then he beat Benjamin Harrison 4 years later.
Yes.
Yes.
He's the 22nd and the 24th president.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. And basically, So they the she was a sick child, and she had diphtheria, and that's what that she ended up dying 5 days later from heart failure.
Wow.
When they created a candy bar, it was originally known as Candy Cake, and it was from 1900 to 1920. And then in 1921, it was renamed Baby Ruth in order for her in her name, and it was 17 years after she had already passed away. And the same at the, during the 1920s, that's when Babe Ruth became popular also. So, you know, they basically, you know, continued. They basically said that it could have been either of them, even though according to what I've seen here, it was originally named after Ruth Cleveland, even though.
Well, my guess is that there's a legal issue here that, you know, they didn't want to pay anybody for using the term Babe Ruth candy bar. So they'll say Baby Ruth, and they'll just say it's named after the president's daughter. You know, the one who died 17 years ago, the one who was born 35 years ago, and you know, it's and the one that's probably faded from memory, but that's what we'll tell people. That way we can use the candy bar name and still get away with it and not have to send any money over to the baseball player.
Correct. And I mean, her last name is pretty strange here, Dakin. Have you ever heard that name before?
I think there's an actor who's got the last name Dakin. Maybe you should look it up. If I'm
I
not,
did. I have a list here of people named Dakin.
if I'm not mistaken, I think the guy who played Strother Martin's part in the remake of True Grit, I think his last name is Dakin. I
I
could
mean,
be wrong on that.
I mean, it's very possible. Based on the list that I found here, there is nobody who fits that description. There was the governor of the Caicos Islands, whose name was Nigel, whose name is Nigel Dakin. Then there are all these cricket players, some scientists. I don't see any on this list that there was a famous cryptographer named
This,
Alec.
I'll tell you what it was. That's his first name. It's not his last name.
Ah, okay.
So that's where I'd heard the name before.
Okay, that makes sense. So yeah, no, I don't know any other.
But no,
I didn't even think to look it up as a first name. So.
it's kind of odd. You know, if it is a first name, can you imagine that Ruth's brother was Dakin Dakin?
And that's true. It's very possible. Gets over his little stupor and then goes, "Well, what do you know? A wife." And, "Oh, how do you do? Congratulations. How do you do?" And then George looks around and goes, "What am I doing?" And then he gives her a hug and a kiss and says, "Congratulations, doggone it, Harry, you." Then Billy just screams out, "They're married." And the response that you hear afterwards is George says, "Why don't you tell somebody?" And then Harry goes, "Come on, Mrs. Bailey, I can't wait to see everybody's reaction." And then
Yeah, he
George,
knows he's trying to spring a surprise.
that's right. And then George starts walking with her, and he goes, "You're really married? Why, yes. What's a pretty girl like you doing marrying that two-headed brother of mine?" "Well, I'll tell you, it's purely mercenary. My father offered him a job." "Oh, we got you and the job. Well, Harry's cup runneth over. George, about that job." See, Harry interrupts here and says, "Ruth spoke out of turn. I never said I'd take it. You've been holding the bag here for 4 years, and well, I won't let you down, George. I would like to." "Oh, wait a minute. I forgot the bags. I'll be right back." And then he runs back to go get the bags. And then Billy, we hear Billy scream. He goes, "It was a surprise to me." So, you know, it's funny that that she says that it's purely mercenary. You know, I don't know if I would necessarily use that term. Maybe back in the 1940s, the term mercenary was seen very differently than it is today.
That doesn't surprise me at all. I might have used that expression a couple of times, when I was doing something and I'm getting something out of it that is like a bonus, and I would tease that, it's really just a mercenary act on my part. I was really, it's like being on this show. It's not because I enjoy talking to you. It's really because I'm going to boost my listenership on the podcast or something like that.
Okay. Well, I'm not paying you.
My
That's for
appearing
sure.
with you is purely mercenary, Rob.
That's okay. Well, because I don't have any. I don't make any profits to be able to share with everyone. So yeah, I make do with your knowledge.
But I do like the fact that that when she says that, George gets an expression on his face that's almost exactly the one that started the previous minute when he discovers that the building and loan would close if he doesn't stay as the executive officer. I mean, I think it's like these are two bookends of his life, 4 years apart, and he's got the same look on his face when he's suddenly disappointed again at the prospect of what's going to happen.
Exactly. And I mean I mean, we talked a little bit about this yesterday, but the whole idea that George is constantly his plans are constantly thwarted. And it's never done in a malicious way, but it just happens to be that he has all these great plans for himself. And every time that he's trying to do something, he wants to turn the corner and go fulfill these dreams, he gets stopped by something. And here's just another thing: just because Harry got married, do you think Harry didn't mention it because because not just that he wanted to surprise George, but he wanted for this to come up this way. Not to give George enough time to think about it.
Yeah, I think that that would ascribe kind of a malicious attitude by Harry towards George, and I don't really think that's the case.
Malicious or self-serving?
Well, it's manipulative. I don't know if I would, it's a matter of degree. It certainly might, if it, even if it's self-serving, I think that it's, kind of indifferent to George, and I don't really think that that's the way Harry is. And when obviously you'll be talking about it toward the end of the season, I think we discover that Harry is quite a magnanimous person. I just think he's impulsive, and he likes the surprises, and he does things in a particular way. I think that's Harry's nature, and
Okay, and
I don't
that's
think
fine. I'm not trying. I'm not trying.
I don't think I would ascribe it to trying to pull a fast one on George.
Not necessarily trying to pull a fast one, but the whole idea is that it's a known thing. I mean, it doesn't sound as if they eloped the night before. It sounds like they've been married already, let's say at least a few weeks, if not longer, at this point. And Harry has already met her family and has already, at least to some degree, he's agreed to the fact that he will be, working for his new father-in-law.
Have you ever known people who got married the same weekend that they graduated from college? Because I have. I've known two people who did that.
Okay.
So it wouldn't surprise me at all that it would be one of those kinds of things. They were, they met at school, or he was at school and met her. I don't know if she was at school also, but he's coming back from graduating. It's his turn to come back to town, and he probably, like I said, impulsively married this woman that he fell in love with, pretty close to the same weekend. It wouldn't surprise me at all that those kinds of events happen. So, like I said, I just think it's his impulsiveness more than anything else.
Okay. All right. That's fair. That's fair to look at it from that perspective. No, I don't think that Harry has malicious intent here, but I think it's the idea that he's in some ways already agreed to something without taking 100% into consideration how it will affect George.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's what it comes down to. It's not, I don't know if it's being really selfish, but it's also thinking of his needs.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, like a lot of things, people don't always think about the unintended consequences of their acts.
Correct. Right. Even though right away he knows and pipes up about the fact that I know I'm supposed to take it over and that I'm here to do that. But I don't know how much George really buys it. You know, because I think also Harry knows George. So the question there is okay, does he think that George is going to just, give in and say, okay, you know what, I'm not gonna let you miss your opportunity. So I'm gonna stay.
We never see that conversation.
No,
we just know what George is like.
Correct. Correct. Because if I remember correctly, I think this part of the movie is the only part where we even see Ruth. I don't think we see her later on or anything like that. At the party at the end.
I was going to say, because that seems like it would be a natural, but I don't remember.
Right.
There are a lot of people in there at the party at the end.
That's true. But I don't recall seeing her there. It is possible. I'll have to go back and I'll have to go check the tape, as they say. Yeah.
All right.
To see if she actually appears there. But I mean, for sure she never appears in anything else. That's the only place where it's possible that she appears.
Well, she is in the wedding scene or the party scene where they're celebrating when they get back to the house.
Right. But I don't remember.
You're
if
right.
We see her at George and Mary's wedding. I don't recall if they're actually there. I mean, we're obviously not there. We have another few weeks till we'll get there. I'll have to try and keep that in mind when we get to the wedding. But I don't think that they're there. This is I wouldn't necessarily say it's a throwaway character, but it's a character who is here just for this plot point.
Yeah, it's a plot point.
You know, I mean, looking at the wedding itself, I don't even see Harry there. So.
Well, I jumped ahead and I'm looking at that closing scene. I will say that I don't see her in any of those scenes.
Correct. Yeah, because I don't think also that Harry, maybe Harry doesn't live in Bedford Falls. You know, that we don't know. So, yeah.
Well, not during the war, he didn't.
Well, no, obviously not. But no, but was his family still?
Yeah, we don't know. Yeah, you're right. Well, I assume that he's living wherever the job was.
I think they mentioned Rochester, didn't they?
The glass factory. You know, yeah.
Yeah, I think they mentioned. I think they talk about it. We'll talk about that a little more tomorrow, I guess.
Okay.
You know, at this point, George just is left alone. And we see that he's just contemplating things once again. And, you know, just like Clarence said yesterday, we already know what's going to happen here.
Yeah.
You know, it's not there isn't much of a debate as to what's going to happen to George here. You know, he is going to make that decision. Right. All right. So do you have anything else for this minute?
I do not.
Okay. All right. So every Tuesday we have a segment called Off the Beaten Track. And this season we're telling stories about uplifting experiences. So, you know, I'm assuming that Richard has some sort of story, anecdote, adventure, misadventure, something that's happened over the course of your life that is related to some sort of uplifting experience that you've had. So why don't you tell
us that? It was an uplifting moment in a downcast time. I lost my wife 5 years ago. It's maybe one of the most emotionally wrenching experiences I've ever gone through. And, you know, it was tough. And I have family members that I don't know very well. They, you know, I visited them when we were kids. We would drive across the country and see my mom and dad's families back in Battle Creek, Michigan. We lived in Southern California, and they came from Battle Creek, Michigan. And I would see my cousins and my aunts and uncles maybe once a year for when I was a kid, up until the time I was maybe 9 or 10. And then between the time I was 10 and 40, I didn't see any of my cousins except one who came and moved to California. And I saw her occasionally as well. And then a few years later, when, you know, maybe 3 years, 4 years before my wife passed, we went back and we drove back to visit my one surviving aunt, who was 93 at the time, and some of my cousins that still live in the Battle Creek area. And it was great to visit with them. We stayed with them, with one of my cousins, for the a couple of nights while we were there, and it was really great. And I moved on. It was nice seeing them, and we moved on. And then when my wife passed away, I got sympathy cards. I got nice messages. You know, most of these are Facebook relationships that I have with my cousins, because we haven't spent a good deal of time together. But I did receive something from one of my cousins that was very personal, and it was touching, and it was uplifting in that way, because it made me feel like I was no longer alone. It was one of those things. They didn't send flowers. They sent a package of candy corn.
Oh, wow.
Because they knew me online, and they knew that my wife always gave me candy corn in September and October, because I won't eat it outside of that period of time, because it's too addictive to me. So I have a very strict regimen. You know, I got 61 days that I can consume candy corn. And they said, and I opened this package and the candy corn was there, and they said, you know, just thinking of you, and we love you. And it was not anything that I would have expected, but I felt so grateful at that moment that I had people in my life that paid attention to me online, remembered, you know, my wife well enough to know that this would have been something that she would have done. And they took the time to package that up. And like I said, even though I was going through a really tough time, it was a very good moment in my life. Now, it's not an inspirational story. It's not something that's going to get people out there to change the world. But it's one of those things that reminds me that there are good people in the world, and I know some of them.
Oh, wow. That is a great story, Richard. Thank you very much for sharing that. I definitely appreciate that. Yes. Okay, so you want to once again tell people where they can find Richard Kirkham?
Hey, Richard Kirkham can be located at kirkhamamovieaday.com on the WordPress site. I also have a blogger site that is easy to access. You just remember kirkhamclass.blogger.com. That one has all the links to my other sites on it as well, because I do have the Strother Martin Film Project. I did 80s Nostalgia Central, and I've got some other projects that are listed there as well, and you can find links to all of those projects on that site. But on a weekly basis, you can find me on the Lamcast, where I am the host of the weekly podcast of the Large Association of Movie Blogs, which is a collective of 2,000-plus movie bloggers. And we have various bloggers and podcasters join us each week to talk about current films, to talk about past films, to make up lists, to argue about actors. We have all kinds of conversations, and Movie Rob has always been a part of those conversations as long as I've been on the show. So look us up there at largeassmovieblogs.com.
All right. And while you're doing that, you can go rate, review, and subscribe on any podcatcher you might be using to listen to the show. Finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter, which is now X. And you can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. So until tomorrow, hot dog.
Hot dog.
I love you truly, truly dear. Life with its sorrow, life with its tears.